we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
I'm not gonna spend my life being a color.
Tell me you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eye.
It's Race Across America, 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
To Race Across America. Whether you're listening on 99.1 FM, KKFT in Reno, or on our Facebook, RaceAcrossAmerica20.com, we welcome you. It's the show America's been waiting on for over 400 years. The only show that tells the whole truth about America's racial history, its problems and progress of the past, present, and everything in between. Open, honest dialogue. Everything's on the table for discussion. We hold everyone accountable for what they say about racial issues in today's America, including ourselves. I'm Paul White. My co-host is LaMarcus Tinker. LaMarcus, what else does our audience need to know about us and our show before we get going today?
All right, Paul. Well, good afternoon to all of our listeners and all of our watchers live on Facebook. We are happy to be back for the fourth installment of Race Across America. I just want to let you all know that we love to hear from you. We want your feedback. We want your calls. We want your questions. We want you to challenge us. Please call us at 775-884-9910. Again, 775-884-9910. And you can also follow us on Facebook and watch live of our feed here in the studio at Race Across America 20. Again, we want to hear from you. We challenge everybody to call in. Last week was something special, and I'm sure Paul is going to set the airwaves on fire again today. All right, Paul, let's get into it.
Let's do it, LaMarcus. We want our listeners to really strap in. This is going to be a strong, good show. But before I say it, I just want to remind them always, LaMarcus and I are good friends. We truly love and care about each other. We share the same faith. We share the same concern about the need to heal America's racial divide. And what we differ on is what's the best way to go about this. But that's America. That's our First Amendment. That's the way it should be. So away we go. Black voices on the left and their white followers find something new every day, it seems, to blame for the gap in black achievement when compared to other races. How big is that gap? Well, black America ranks last in education level, employment, net worth, and even life expectancy. And first, in out-of-wedlock births, violent crime, school suspensions, incarceration, and sexually transmitted diseases. The growing protest that all these problems are the result of systemic white racism begs two questions. The first, where's this proof of systemic racism in 2020 America? Nobody's been able to answer that. Which government laws are specifically preventing blacks from equal opportunity to pursue housing, voting, education, employment, health care, wealth accumulation, and equal protection under the law? There are none. I mention blacks specifically and not all people of color because that phrase is used to falsely claim that not just blacks, but Latinos and Asians are also being held down by white systemic racism. That reasoning doesn't work because it's not true. Latino success consistently exceeds that of blacks, and Asians outperform all racial groups, including whites. But question two, so if there is no systemic racism, what is causing the huge achievement gap between black people and all the rest of America? Well, the answer is simple. No one, black or white, is willing to talk about and do something about the foundational causes of these problems. Yes, centuries of slavery, lynchings, Jim Crow, racist law enforcement, and discriminatory government policies, they were terrible. And I repeat, were. But they're gone. And they're not the cause of black problems today. But three primary things are. One, far more out-of-wedlock births than any other race. Results in almost three-fourths of all young black men being raised without positive male father figures. Two, a lack of effort and lack of appropriate behavior in school, which results in black students having the lowest academic achievement by far of any race, and it's getting worse. 3. A widespread acceptance by parents and schools of antisocial behavior and an upside-down value system that leads to a disproportionate amount of criminal activity and negatively impacts future employment. These 3 self-inflicted causes are the only thing holding back major black improvement. They have nothing to do with skin color or with America's previous and horrible history of racism. They have everything to do with the need for black parents and schools to parent and teach all children with the cultural values that lead to success in American society. The current race-related protests and rioting, they're not about trying to solve the real problems of race. It's about criminals and anarchists of all colors trying to destroy our system of government, and they're merely hiding it behind ridiculous claims of racism. People of any color who support these protests are being dangerously misled. And this fact has been attested to by a growing number of respected black voices, including, recently, Muhammad Ali's son, Martin Luther King's niece, Candace Owens, Herschel Walker, Walt Williams, Jason Riley, Larry Elder, and even America's first black billionaire, Robert Johnson of BET. America's racial discord can be healed, but not until we work together on the real issue, promoting personal accountability for all races and condemning the anarchists and anti-law enforcement groups who care nothing about our nation's 328 million lives that matter of all colors. LaMarcus, where are you on this?
Well, Paul, as expected, you said a mouthful of stuff that already has the phone lines blowing up, and callers, we are coming your way here.
Excellent.
Momentarily. But a couple of things I want to reference in Paul's opening that he put together. I definitely know that Paul put a lot of thought into that opening. Is one of the things that you brought up is about this systematic racism and what law is on the books that prevents African Americans in this country or black people, as we have referenced, from being successful. And the reality is this, Paul. I think that a lot of people, they throw this systematic racism word around and they say that there's so many horrible laws and things like that on the books. And again, I bring reference back to what I said before, Paul, that a lot of these laws that were created and put in place were at a time where black people in general were not even considered human beings. And then they were put in place when black people were considered human beings, but not all the way, with segregation. But it kind of goes back to something else too, Paul. And I think this is something that I want to challenge you on today and for you to think about, is that it's not about what's on paper. It has what has been taught from generation to generation. And when I say that, it's only because if you really look at the scale of this racial issue here in this country, you're talking about maybe 4 to 5 generations removed from African Americans as it relates to slavery, and then Caucasian Americans when it relates to slave masters. And you talk about that lineage and how it is taught. Again, racism is something that is taught from generation to generation. You are not born racist. You are taught racism by virtue of the design of however your family dynamic is set up. And so when you look at the spectrum of racism in this country and you talk about systematic racism, it's not so much about what's on the books. Now, granted, there's a lot of loopholes that individuals like some officers and some people find their ways to weasel through, and they buy their way through. And that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. But there are the individuals that are in these positions of power, in these places of authority, that are able to use these laws and manipulate these laws and bend them to their own agenda that creates a situation where you go, well, how did you become that way? It's about where it starts, Paul, when it relates to the systematic racism. And I think people sometimes keep saying it's the laws. There's no law that says African Americans can can't go to college or can't get a degree or can't do this or can't do that. But there are definitely loopholes and areas in which are blind spots that this country has neglected to acknowledge that has made it harder for those individuals to get to those positions and those to places. And then you talk about the out of wedlock rate. And I want to remind you something, Paul, is that, you know, they say we got to learn from history so we don't repeat it. I think one of the things, again, goes back to my point when I talk about being 3 to 4, maybe 5 generations removed from slavery and slave masters. You have to remember that men were always pulled away from their families during slavery, because a man being present in the home is something that is a threat at the time to the slave master, to the overseer, and those individuals, because a man represented strength. A man represented legacy and prosperity in those times and even into times today. So a lot of that was taught. Now, let me be clear when I say this, Paul. I'm not saying that African Americans don't have a responsibility to do what's right by their children. What I am saying is that this is something that was implemented and taught for generations that has been kind of lingering on, again, because things are taught generation to generation. And then as we keep going, and I want to get to the callers on the line, I want to make sure that I get to everybody here. And I'm going to have my producer here cut on my screen here so I can get to the callers, because I can't see them. I want to get to the callers that are live here on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio. So we're going to go to the lines. I believe we have Sean on the line from Houston, Texas. Sean, let's hear from you.
Yes, good evening, fellas. Just wanted to make this really quick. When we bring up the education system, I think the reason why the black students are having a hard time learning is because 97% of teachers are white, are females. And now the 93% of that 97% are white female teachers. So the problem that we're having is, it's not that the black people can't have education, it's that they're getting sick and tired of being mistreated by the white folks that don't understand them.
Well, good point, Sean. Again, having worked in an armload of schools, running them, teaching them, et cetera, I can tell you that there's all kinds of students of color in all those schools who are having no problem with that. No excuses for that. As I told you, my best student and my worst student were both black. Families both lived in the same project. They were all taught by the same teachers. What was the difference? One mother had raised her kids to be thugs. One mother had raised her kids to be law-abiding citizens. How does everybody else figure this out, including other blacks? If it was systemic, you'd have no black success. I want to touch back with what LaMarcus said, this idea that legacy of slavery is what messes it up.
LaMarcus,
that this was taking a long time. That slavery tore the men out of the homes, which it certainly did. But here's where that doesn't work. You see, in the 1940s, the out-of-wedlock rate for black families was about 15%. 85% of the men in the 40s, this was pre-civil rights, pre-Jim Crow, really much closer to slavery days, et cetera. 85% of black men were in the home. Now, what changed? Well, around the 50s and 60s, the government wanted to get more involved. And the government got in there and screwed it up with policies that basically rewarded families for the fathers not being in the home, families of any color. So what happened? There wasn't a legacy that was driving more out of wedlock births. The black families were pretty intact. But the government got in there and kind of messed it up.
Well, you know what, Paul? You know what? I'm not going to let you skip over that. I think it's time for a response. When it comes to this idea, you talk about the government getting involved, Paul. Why do you think the government got involved? What frightened them about the idea that African Americans at the time were thriving and building businesses and having our own infrastructure and our own medical doctors and things like this? What do you think frightened them about the idea that African Americans at the time would be able to build something without them? So when you talk about the government, I also want to remind you, Paul, you referenced that time as, like you said, well, that kind of goes out the window because of this time. Well, let's look at who was actually in authority. Who were the politicians at that time, Paul?
The Democrats you're voting for.
You know what, Paul, I'm not talking about Democrats and Republican. I'm talking about Caucasian Americans.
You need to. That's who was there.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Paul. I'm talking about race. I'm not talking about your candidate affiliation.
No, no, no. They're inseparable.
I'm talking about the individuals that were in authority, again, that were primarily white at the time. What do you think their motive was? Do you think their motive was, well, we're going to go in there and provide assistance because we want to see them thrive anymore? Or was their motive, we're going to go in there and break this down so that they become and consistently become dependent on what we have for them? But with that being said, Paul, we have Teddy on the line here. Teddy calling in. Teddy, you're live here on the air, sir.
Hey, my comment is, like, when Paul was talking about where is this law at and all that, don't you know the Jewish got a Torah, which is the Torah. But then they got the oral Torah, which is stuff that you teach your kids and you teach your family all the time of what the laws and the rules is, because they have 260-something laws. It's the same way with this racial stuff. It's not in a law book, but you learn it from generation to generation to generation. And also, Paul, you was talking about back in the 40s when all of the men were white, 85% of us. That's because the blacks were not counted.
That is very true.
No, Teddy. What I was referring to is just strictly the absolute factual from back then. Within black families, just strictly talking black families, 85% of the men were in the home. And so the government, LaMarcus, I don't understand where the conspiracy theory about they had more black fathers in the home, so somehow the whites wanted to ruin that. What ruins it is when you've got a political system. And again, you can't talk race without talking Republicans and Democrats. Why? It's the Democrats that fought every improvement, that fought civil rights, that fought against the 13th, 14th Amendments, etc. And so what you've got this, simply people realize that, well, okay, good, you had a higher rate of fathers in the home. Well, bad, you had all kinds of violations and racial discriminatory stuff, voting tests and all kinds of stuff. So, of course, the government needed to get involved to keep making it better while holding the gains that the black community was making. But the government, when they got involved and started just offering all this, like I say, making it a benefit to single parents, making it a benefit when the man was not in the home in terms of getting government subsidies, that didn't help anybody, and it was done as a ploy to get votes. But, well, LaMarcus, we've gotten so far behind in current events, we just got to run by them, and I'm curious to have you say, is making sense or making no sense? We got the sublime to the ridiculous this week. New York Post reported that Lincoln County, Oregon, is requiring face masks at all times for this COVID-19. Now, unless you're a person of color, whatever that means, and you have heightened, and you worry about it's racially profiling you or it's harassing you, then you don't have to wear a mask. So in other words, everybody who's white has to wear one, but if you're black, Latino, or Asian and you feel it's racist, you don't have to. Does that make sense or is it nonsense, LaMarcus?
Well, Paul, I appreciate that. And really quick before I get to that point, I just remind everybody you can call in at 775-884-9910 here on 99.1 FM Talk. We want to hear from you. And Paul, before I answer that, we have a caller online that I have to go to. We have Velma in Shirts, Nevada. Yes, Velma, you are live on Race Across America.
Well, thank you, LaMarcus. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Velma.
I just wanted to call back this week after last week and apologize for my tone and delivery. Even my volume was too much, and I have realized that, Paul, you have a right to your opinion, and I'm learning how to walk and deal in protest. I've been following you guys since Stronghold Institute, as you know.
I know.
And even after week after week after week of you being given proof of the plight of the American race, and different, facts about what we're going through currently as a race, and for you to still not be empathetic was kind of engaging, and it caused me to be over-emotional. So I just wanted to apologize for that, my delivery, not for what I said.
Velma, no, no apology necessary.
Because I you understand what we're going through, and you have no empathy for the African-American people.
No, Velma, no apology necessary, but there's no we. There's no we. There's just individuals. Some individuals are doing working hard, following law, going to school of all colors, and they're doing well. Some individuals are not following the law, not working hard, not trying to be a benefit to society, and they're doing poorly. And they're found in all colors, and nobody's got any. It's just like I wouldn't use a we white people. Who in the heck is that? Albert Einstein was a white people. Adolf Hitler was a white people. What on earth do they have in common other than their skin color? So, no, I appreciate you calling on that. Okay, LaMarcus, Lincoln County, Oregon. Is it anything short of idiocy to say, oh, people of color don't have to wear masks if you feel you'll get racially profiled, whatever that means?
Well, when it comes to that, Paul, I think what you said the Oregon governor?
The Oregon County. So
the,
it'd be
Oregon, the Oregon yeah. County, so mayor, mm-hmm. mayor basically.
Of, probably or city, co- city or, council. City council.
I think what that comes from is that there has always been, you know, this stereotype that the criminals and the thugs and as all these different names that people have been called have typically been associated with African Americans. And what I think that they were saying was, we don't want to further the problem or make it even more of a problem by saying you have to put on a mask. Now, with that being said, let me be clear. Everybody should wear a mask. Everybody, I don't care if you're black, white, yellow, or green, you should wear a mask. You should practice social distancing if that's, you know, required in your city or your town or your ordinance or whatever you want to call it. Because, again, nobody should be willing to just walk around and get anybody sick just because they feel like it. Again, do what you want in your home. But when you go out into a public place, you know, do what is necessary. Paul, I don't think I think the way that they delivered it, was a bit, you know, just skeptical, trying to play both sides of the fence.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's really of any importance, to be quite honest.
All righty, moving on to BLM, Black Lives Matter activist Sean King, getting a little press on the media. He's a white, black guy. His argument is all the drawings and murals and everything of Jesus is European. I'm still waiting to see a picture of Jesus in my life that I thought where he looked European, that he wants them torn down because Sean King says they're an example of white supremacy. Well, here's what I've seen, LaMarcus. The Bible's got three references to what Jesus looked like. One is in Psalms 45, and it says he was fairer than all the others. Well, Jesus must have been white. Then you go to the book of Revelation, it says his ankles were like bronze. Well, wait a minute, Jesus must have been Latino. Then it says his hair was like white wool. Well, he must have been black. It seems like such a ludicrous argument. The Bible would make an argument for that Jesus was possibly triracial. What do you think about this whole thing about tearing down the pictures of Jesus, LaMarcus?
Well, as far as tearing down the pictures of Jesus, I don't think Jesus should ever be torn down in any place or any group, whether white, black, or otherwise. I think the message of Jesus and the Word of God is of utmost importance. So the idea to tear Jesus down because he's black or he's white or he's Hispanic or whatever, Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is all. So quite frankly, Paul, I think that, you know, again, that a person is entitled to their opinion, but when it comes to Jesus, Jesus is the answer, Jesus is the truth, and everybody should turn to him. That's how I feel about it.
Good, good. All right, well, this was an interesting one. Major newspaper chains last week, Gannett, USA Today, etc., they agreed that, you know, in the past they've always capitalized Asian and Latino when writing about it, and white and whites and blacks have always been lowercase. Well, they announced last week that in order to show understanding and respect to blacks, and I'm quoting, that they are going to be capitalizing the B in blacks whenever they talk about blacks. But they also added that they're going to keep the W in whites lowercase because it could look to people like they were promoting white supremacy, or whites can easily, their words, easily be identified other ways. What do you think, LaMarcus, capital B from Paul White, lowercase W? What do you think?
Quite frankly, Paul, I think people are, as it relates to that, again, an issue that is people just, you know, trying to find anything that they can do to try to make up for their either direct racism or their complacency with racism. And they're just trying to figure out a way that they can do their part, as little or as insignificant as that may be. We're not talking about big W's and big B's and small W's and small B's. We're talking about lives. We're talking about souls that are being lost by individuals to death by cops or death by anybody or death by each other. It doesn't really matter. So when we start getting into the semantics semantics of what's on paper and all of this kind of stuff. It's just a little foolishness. Who cares if the B is capitalized and the double is capitalized or both are lowercase? Who gives a damn? Is that going to save a life? Is that going to make a difference in the world? I don't think so.
Right, I totally agree. You know, we never did touch on Rayshard Brooks, the Atlanta shooting, the man who was found passed out in the drive-through of a Wendy's in Atlanta, was tested for alcohol by the police who were called because his car was blocking it. And the police came, and as you know, they tested him. He was DUI, so they were talking. The cameras were going. He was ready to be they were going to put cuffs on him, take him down the station for DUI. Rayshard Brooks goes off on the cops, punches one, wrestles with both of them, takes the taser from one of them, fires it at him, runs off, turns around, fires it again. Police chases after him, shoots him. Rayshard Brooks dies. Since then, the cop has been charged with murder, was fired. Gets better, LaMarcus. The stepmother of the cop, before it ever goes to court, the cop's stepmother has been fired from her job in the HR department because her co-workers didn't feel comfortable engaging with her or trusting her. Where are you at on this, LaMarcus? Does it sound like it's right or within justice or no?
All right, folks, I'm going to jump back on that once we come back. We got to pay some bills. Again, folks, we want to hear from you at 775-884-9910. This is KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio. Again, we want to hear from you after the break. Paul, I'm coming for you on this one.
It's Race Across America. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
All right, folks, thank you for listening, and thank you to all of our Facebook watchers for watching here in studio. Again, we want to thank you all for listening to KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio. We want to hear from you. Call us at 775-884-9910. Before the break, Paul mentioned the horrific shooting of Mr. Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta. And one of the things, Paul, that I want to say about that is, you know, of course the cop was fired and charged with a felony and the murder, but did you also know that Garrett Roth, or however you say his last name, had 12 previous misconduct complaints, including use of excessive force. In addition, did you also know that Garrett was also involved in another controversial police shooting in 2015? And what way does a shooting a man in the back while running away justify proper policing? And Paul, before we get to that, because I know you got something to say, we got to go to our callers, because again, they help us pay the bills. Hey, John, you're live here. I'm sorry. Our producer saying Mike, live here from Reno, Nevada. Mike, you are live on Race Across America. What's your question, sir, your feedback?
All right, I'll make it quick. You know, Paul's mentioning about 1940s. Don't forget, in the 1940s, there was segregation. There were black colleges that go back to the 19th century. The reason for the racial gap is very obvious. The blacks are an inferior race. They look like gorillas. Their brains are smaller, and you just have to deal with reality. And
okay, good, Mike. That takes care of that. Our show's not about that. You got us confused with somebody else.
Well, you know what, Paul? Let me address that. You know, because Mike is speaking for a group of people in this country that is just completely out of order. You know, the part of that really bothers me, Mike, is that your perception of us, whether you calling us gorillas and we're the inferior race, and you say these types of things, and a lot of people in this country echo your sentiment to a certain degree when they look at us as threats, and they, you know, they call the police because they're afraid or whatever the case may be. And I think that Mike, this is a show that, again, like Paul said, we're not about that life. We are here to talk about the race issue, but we are not sitting here spewing out hateful things towards any demographic on this show. So again, Mike, thank you for your call, but at the same time, I do appreciate you voicing what's the underneath current as to why me and Paul have to do a show like this in the first place. I'm going to go back to the lines. Let's hear from John, who's Paul, I'm sorry, you want to go ahead?
Yeah,
John?
Yeah.
John, you're live with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. First of all, as far as that last call goes, nobody in America except the people that think like that think like that. Those people are a lost cause as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, I want to say that it seems to me, Mr. LaMarcus, and I mean this respectfully, I respect the way that this show is handled. It's remarkable. Two completely different points of view, but able to have a discussion civilly, that is really remarkable. I've grown to appreciate it more than I thought I would.
Good.
Well, we appreciate that, John.
It seems as though I have noticed that you, Mr. DeMarco, you have a pattern of you dismiss.
A little technical problem there.
Hold on 1 second, John. We're having a hard time hearing you. Our producer is working it out. Give us 1 second, John. We want to make sure you get your question. All right, John, go right ahead, sir.
Go ahead, John. Okay, now we lost him. Okay, LaMarcus with Rashard Brooks. First of all, just the facts on the thing. Prior to the officer shooting him, he'd committed 4 felonies, okay? A DUI, attacking a police officer, punching a police officer, taking the weapon of a police officer and firing it at him. When he's running away, it's not enough to run away. He turns around and fires the thing, trying to hit the police officer. This is a guy who had this isn't a guy who was any stranger to breaking the law. He said supposedly excuses made for him trying to be, he was in a hurry to get home. I'm not sure what he would have been in a hurry to get home for, or what his family would have wanted him. He'd previously had felony charges of family battery and cruelty to children. I'm not sure the family would have been waiting with open arms to have this guy come home. So, I mean, the idea that all he had to do, and everybody's seen the camera, the cop couldn't have been more respectful. Brooks turned on the guy and attacked the cops, both cops, throwing them around, grabs the weapon, shoots them with their weapon, runs off, turns around, goes again. I mean, where's the idea? What's there to support with this case, LaMarcus?
Well, you know, Paul, again, and this is something that, you know, we talk about oftentimes, you know, because so many different things are happening here in the country. You know, this idea that when we see someone that is killed, now let me be clear. Nobody is saying that Mr. Rashard Brooks should have, grabbed the officer's taser, which we saw. Nobody's saying that he should have, bumped up against the officer. And nobody's saying
he threw him all over the ground.
Here's the thing, though, Paul. Again, nobody is saying that any of that behavior is right. But at the same token, it comes off as if you're saying, well, because of his past and because of the circumstances, then that justified a man that's running away from a cop, running away from him, the opposite direction of him, not towards him, for him then to discharge his weapon of deadly force to shoot that man in the back while he's running away from him is unacceptable.
We can
talk about his past and we can try to justify it. Again, it's this idea that is being delivered that because someone has a past, it is somehow beneficial and justified for them to either be murdered or for them to be shot in the back for deadly force to be used. Because like you said, you sure nobody was at home waiting with open arms for him. That is to imply that it's that he won't be missed. Again, clear that up, Paul.
You're combining 2 things there, LaMarcus. One is just what he did. To assault an officer, to take his weapon, could have taken his gun and shot and killed him, to discharge the weapon, and then turn around and discharge it again. Who cares if Rashard Brooks was a Sunday school teacher? Right there, to say so he got away from the cops and ran off, so the cops were supposed to say, well, okay, Rashard, we're even. Heck no. And they'd let him run off and say he'd shot that weapon at somebody else in the neighborhood as he was running away, and then the police would have been sued for, why didn't the police stop this guy? No, absolutely, the cops were justified in using deadly force, as will come out in the trial on this, I'm sure. This one is not at all a comparison to a George Floyd. Rashard Brooks was simply committing multiple felonies, attacking officers, and discharged a weapon at them. This was not, some innocent guy. Now, let's compare this, because we've got a real comparison in what went on this week, LaMarcus. Now, we all heard about Rashard Brooks and all this. Okay, here within a 24-hour period. Here's just a few incidents that I'm sure you haven't heard about. Okay, in Houston, a white guy sitting standing in line in a convenience store, and there's five young black teenagers cutting in line. The guy turns back to him. He says, "Hey, don't cut in line. Get to the back." That's it. He goes out to get in his car. All five of them come out, jump him, beat him. One of them's yelling "Black Lives Matter" while they beat him. And if you see the video, it's pretty horrific. Within that same 24-hour period, Flint, Michigan. Little white guy, looks like he was working at the cosmetic counter at the Macy's in Flint, Michigan, near where I was raised. And two black teens come up, and one of them goes over and starts beating the guy in the face again, seriously. The white guy on the ground's begging for him to stop. His companion, the other black guy, was filming this, and they're just kind of laughing, having a good time with this. Later it was said, well, the white guy was calling racial slurs to this black guy who did this. No, Macy's came out later and said the video showed it 100% false. Guy just assaulted him. So we got the guy in Houston, the guy in Flint, a 92-year-old woman in New York City's walking down the street, might have seen the tape. Young black man walks by her, punches her in the face, knocks her down, bangs her head against a fire hydrant, had to go to the hospital. Now, who's heard of any of these, LaMarcus? And I don't bring this up as an example of saying, oh, look, systemic racism, blacks towards whites. Yeah, it was racist behavior, I believe. But I don't think that has anything to do with anything other than the horrible parenting and raising that was done with those young men that assaulted those people, those other people who happened to be white, for no reason. And I'm saying that in a country, we don't want to defund the police and courts. We want strong rules and laws that apply to them so all the rest of us of all colors, white and black, can go along and can do our lives and live this. But so, see, this is Rayshard Brooks leads to looting and burning down Wendy's. Who looted and burned down anything for all these other people that got beat to a pulp?
All right, Paul. Well, thank you for bringing that up. And let me be clear. I don't know. I have not seen those incidents.
You can get them online real easy.
Well, you know what? I'm great. I'm glad that I can pull them up online because I will look into them. And so I'm not going to speak about something that I've never seen. But what I will say is this. If what you said is to be the truth and those things were unwarranted and unjustified and they were out of order, then let me be clear. I am not saying that anybody should attack or beat or do anything as a result to try to prove a point or say that Black Lives Matter or to say that this is justification, so we're going to do this to your business because of what's been done to African Americans in this country. I'm not saying that because I am not an advocate for violence from nobody under any circumstances. I do not believe violence produces change. It just produces more violence. And so that's my feeling on those incidents, Paul. And again, we're going to go back to Houston, Texas. We have a caller here, and I just want to let our callers know to please call in 775-884-9910. We did have a few glitches there with the phone, but our producer has worked it out for us. So go ahead and call us back in. We want to hear from you. If you're on hold, we lost you. We want you to come back. All right, we're back in Houston, Texas. Sean, you're live here on Race Across America.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment about the Rashard Brooks comment that Paul made. Now, what I would say is you are correct. That isn't okay for anyone to do. But what I would ask you is that if you want to point out the, you know, hundreds of cases that you may have, you know, brutality against a black person of the African race versus the Caucasian race, would you like to talk about the 100 million African American people that was brought into this country and was involved in the heinous crimes in the hands of the white people? Because I mean, we can't just be specific and talk about the one thing that's happening versus the 100 million African Americans that was slaughtered, raped, and murdered.
Actually, Sean, we got to kind of get our facts straight. Total number of slaves imported. Total number of slaves loaded in Africa to come to across the Atlantic Passage was about 12 million. Total number that came to the United States, total number, was between 300,000 and 400,000. In other words, 3% of that. Now, you might not know, total number of white Europeans that were taken into slavery and taken to Northern Africa was 1.2 million, four times that. So these are some good stuff to look up. But no, nobody's, everybody's admitting how horrible the things of the past are. But what I'm saying is, this, the crime stuff going on right now, this isn't all about slavery. So because of slavery, these five teens just went and thugged out on this guy and beat this guy. Because of slavery, this young teenage, apparently, young black man in New York City, pounds this 92-year-old woman in the face, and, oh, slavery made me do it. I mean, we've got to get past that. That was then, this is now, and the laws are being broken. And like I said in my opening remarks, this is just being thrown up as a guise because what? Because the schools aren't doing their job, the parents aren't doing their job, and they're trying to hamstring the cops. And let's talk, and LaMarcus, I don't know what you think. These cities about defunding the police. Well, let's look at Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, and Seattle. Okay, they've all cut back on their police patrols, and they're all planning to defund the police. Well, in Seattle, in that little takeover area, the violent crimes tripled. Violent crimes and assaults tripled in 2 weeks in there. Madison, Wisconsin, they've said, well, no, they're going to be real fair and not have police. That's great. They've got the homeless population has tripled, and they've got the homeless camping, just camping in people's lawns, and the cops are saying, well, you know, you told us you don't want us to come there. San Francisco has just stopped going to any crimes dealing with homeless, and this, of course, affects all races. So where are you, LaMarcus, on this defunding the cops? Like somehow the answer to racism is no law enforcement?
Well, no, the answer to racism is not no law enforcement, and I've spoken about this before, and I will speak on it again. When we hear terms like defund the police and get rid of the police, and there's this idea that the defund the police movement is to try to eradicate all police officers in this country, what has been introduced and what has been trying to pass into law is that out of the $300 billion that cops get to militarize their police departments and do all of these different types of things, what they're saying is we're going to take $100 billion of that and put that into the community in which those police stations operate in and create infrastructure for caseworkers, infrastructure for mental health issues, infrastructure so that it can assist the cops, but also there's a check and balance in these communities. You know, in a lot of these communities, Paul, where the police stations are primarily Caucasian officers in predominantly black neighborhoods, and we've had these conversations many of times, that type of ratio does not work. You need to have people on both sides of the fence that understand the plight of the other individuals to be able to bring their voices to the table. So when we talk about defund the police, it's saying take away some of that funding, put it into the communities. It don't have to be black communities or Hispanic communities. It could be white communities, because nobody is saying that Caucasian Americans aren't treated poorly by police officers in their community. So again, it's about restructuring the funding, because when you have a police department that is looks no different than the military, we have a problem, Paul.
Well, you got to ask yourself why that is.
Those are things that are incentivized as well, because you also know that there's a lot of incentives that go into how cops are paid. Now, let me be clear. I am a firm believer that cops and teachers and individuals like that, especially cops that put their lives on the line every single day to protect and serve, I am a firm believer they should be paid at the highest levels. However, there should be an accountability at the highest levels as well to make sure that they are not taking advantage of their freedom to kill at will. And I think that is something that needs to be discussed. So stop with this, well, let's defund the police. And anybody that's saying eradicate police and get rid of them, I am not a fan of that. I am completely against that. I believe that there's a place and there's an order for everything, and police has its place. But again, its place needs to be more scrutinized. It needs to have higher requirements and accountability put on them. That's how I feel about defund the police.
Well, I tell you, if you're against anybody defunding the police, then that's good, because when Black Lives Matter comes up, they're a number one proponent for that. The argument, again, that we've got mostly white cops and mostly white teachers, well, there's two answers to that. One, proportionally, we've got a mostly white country. We got a 60%, if you count Latinos who are also considered Caucasian, that's 75%. If you just go with Anglos, you've got about 60% of the nation is white. So on a typical police force, if it was going to represent America, you'd have six white and you'd only have four of color if it was going to represent it. We've got mostly white cops and mostly white teachers. It's not because you've got tons of black candidates saying, oh, I want to be a cop and I want to be a teacher. First of all, the way cops are mistreated, nobody in their right mind wants to be one. And with white teachers, if you've gone through college and graduated and gotten a bachelor's degree as a young black graduate, and you say, let's see, I can go out there and get abused in a school where they're not enforcing any rules and letting the kids go nuts, and I can make $38,000 a year, or I can have businesses lining up practically bidding for me in other business-related careers where I'm going to start at twice that much. So this idea, again, what we've got to get over, LaMarcus, there's just no excuse for the fact that all we're hearing about with racism and inequalities is not systemic, it's individual. Individuals who simply haven't taken the time to get their, or parented or schooled, to behave, to get their education, to obey the laws, and to go out and want to do something. The ones who do that are doing great, of all colors, most definitely including blacks. And the ones who are not, got to quit blaming it. Why on earth should a community spend time and more social workers than out there? What in the hell are the parents doing? Where are the schools who were paying for 12 years to hold these kids and give these guys an opportunity and an idea of what moral values are in society? So why are we supposed to pick up for the job that the parents are absolutely failing to do? We don't. You got the closer, LaMarcus. I got Martin Luther King. Man's a child of God, made in his image, and therefore he must be respected as such. Until men and nations see this everywhere, we will forever be fighting wars. What do you got, LaMarcus? Take us home.
Well, Paul, I thank you for your opinion on the things that are happening here in this country. One or a couple of things I want to speak to as we close here on Race Across America, because today has been a very interesting day. And one of the things I want to speak on is our caller, Mike, that called in earlier and how he described African Americans in this country. And one of the things that was just laid on me is I just want to say to Mike and to people that think like Mike, I want to say God bless you. I want to say that I pray that you have a change of heart. I pray that God would open your mind to see that we are all one people. We may have differences, and yes, the color of our skin may be different, but the one thing that we cannot do is spew that type of hate and expect healing and unification to take place. And then the next thing I want to speak to, Paul, is I want to speak to this idea that black mothers and black fathers are not there for their children and that issues are at home and so forth and so on. And I want to speak to, you know, the African-Americans that are listening, the Caucasian-Americans that are listening, and all other races that are joining these airwaves. I just want to speak to you and I want to say that it is important for all of us to do our part. It is important for fathers to be in the home, mothers to be in the home. It is important to sow seeds in your children and water them over time. It is important to push them to be greater than just athletes and push them to be greater than just, you know, the basic things in life. It's important for us to push them. But as you push them and as you motivate them, make sure that their moral compass and their integrity and their heart is intact. Because those are the things that are going to end up creating the individuals they become in this world. And again, I go back to this idea is that racism is taught. You are not born racist. You are taught to be racist. And if we change the way we are teaching, whether it be schools, whether it be at home, whether it be in the church, whether it be in the community center, wherever it be, if we change the way we speak about people and we identify people when nobody is watching, we will have the ability to eradicate the idea of racism. And then again, as Paul has alluded to on this show multiple times, it will go from Race Across America to Grace Across America. So we want to thank all of our callers for coming in today. Again, we appreciate you. You have been listening to Race Across America on KKFT 99.1 FM, Fox News Radio. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.